This is GKW, a special edition of Good Karma Wrestling, as we react to AEW Dynasty, which just finished up in St. Louis. A long night of wrestling, but a fun night of wrestling from AEW, which did see, at the end, Swerve Strickland stand tall over Samoa Joe. He is your new AEW World Champion. Yes, that was an interesting part. His entrance was spectacular. I think my favorite part was Prince Nana going from super serious person presenting cape to then dancing character on the way to the ring as we see Prince Nana. But that match delivered, just about every match delivered on the card tonight for AEW at Dynasty in St. Louis. The crowd certainly delivered. What was your biggest takeaway from the night?
My biggest takeaway is that it is now Swerve's house officially. You go from, going into someone's house and possibly taking someone's kids to becoming a babyface and becoming the heavyweight champion over Samoa Joe. It's amazing how the metamorphosis of the new champion, Swerve Strickland, from heel to babyface and beloved. That crowd was all over him, and they love that he's the new heavyweight champion. That is striking while the iron's hot, because I didn't think it was going to happen. I had no idea that Swerve was going to win. I thought they'd wait until the next pay-per-view in May, but they want to strike while the iron's hot, bro. And we got a new heavyweight champion in AEW.
Yeah, it's crazy. Look at AEW right now. This is a very strong babyface roster. You have Swerve as the world champion. Willow finally wins AEW gold. You have Will Ospreay being Will Ospreay and just going out there and saying bruv and delivering every single damn time he goes out there. It was one of those nights we said going into it, there are pretty high expectations. There's a lot of good wrestling there, and 95% of that card delivered in the good wrestling department tonight.
With Swerve, the pressure's on now, because it's still been a while now in AEW that we've had a real good World Heavyweight Championship reign. I mean, it was a long reign for MJF where the championship got lost, and at other times, the ROH tag titles were featured over it when he was a double champ. And Samoa Joe, I think it was a solid run. Obviously not a long run with the championship for Joe, because they do strike when iron hot. But now it's, again, I think there's a little bit of pressure on Swerve Strickland. I think he's up for the challenge, certainly. But I think when we talk about AEW and they need something to strike and they need something to get hot, I think they realize that as well. Which is why, okay, let's give this thing a – you can go back to Samoa Joe. And I say this as a big Samoa Joe fan. You can really go back to Joe at any point. Like, Joe's one of those guys that is always a legitimate championship, like, contender because of who he is, who his history is, what he is as a professional wrestler. If you're looking for something to get hot, all right, let's give Swerve Strickland a shot, see if we can carry this and maybe even make Broitz's dream of – Wembley main event of Ospreay versus Swerve Strickland come true.
We're getting closer. We're one step closer tonight. That's what I see.
Probably, you know, 2 steps closer, if we're honest.
Okay, I'm good.
You're right there, though, Gabe. Yeah, I mean, you're right there. I mean, what we're seeing from Will Ospreay is the best wrestler in 2024. Now I'm counting 4, maybe 5 great matches from Will Ospreay that we've seen already. I mean, first of all, he's going to get the time. It'll be 20 minutes or more. That's number one. But two, you talk about maximizing your minutes. This guy was just absolutely amazing. He against Bryan Danielson. We knew that was going to be arguably the best match on the card, and boy, it delivered. I'm talking about Ospreay bouncing back from all the type of punishment that Danielson was giving him. It's one of the best Danielson matches we've seen in 2024. And that says a lot, too. But Will Ospreay right now, that he is destined to be the man in AEW at some point. You admit, you cannot deny how great he is. There are no B-plus matches with Will Ospreay. Okay? There's no A-minus matches. There are only A's when it comes to Will Ospreay.
Like, this is literally one of those matches. And I know social media is one of those places where everyone sort of overreacts. But the amount of tweets I saw saying, it's the best match I've ever seen. It's the best match ever on North American soil. And it's hard to argue with it, with those two went out there and did. And Ospreay is so over right now, even though Don Callis is still sort of attached to him. I think they need to end that soon. But, like, everything he does is a home run right now. He's fun to watch. Like, this match somehow exceeded expectations. and I want to see it 10 more times the rest of the year. Like, that was unbelievable tonight.
And they may have set up the rematch with injury Angle at the end of it. You know, so it'll be interesting to see if they end up fighting their way to a rematch and do it again. I think it's always a possibility that they could, you know, be a big match at Wembley. You know, maybe if you end up doing another match somewhere between now and then, Bryan Danielson wins, and then you have the rubber match at Wembley. Like, literally any of your favorite professional wrestlers, you can book a dream match at All In Wembley for Will Ospreay, right? Like, if you are one of the best wrestlers on the roster for AEW, I guess that's probably what you're dream. That's what you're dreaming of, because I have a hard time imagining at this point that Will Ospreay is not in the main event at Wembley Stadium. Like, everything else will fall into place. That dude's going to be in the main event.
And I also have a hard time ever imagining Will Ospreay have a bad match at this point. Like, since he's signed with AEW and we've seen him in Spurs beforehand, like, I think it's impossible.
How does he not slip up once?
Ever.
No. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, you mentioned it, Jay Hood. Like, you can count, like five different matches, right? Like, that's just been spectacular. And I think of, like, the best, you know, some of the other best wrestlers in the world. And at this point, they messed up a move. Like, what? Well, okay, whatever. It happens. This is happening live. You know, a little mess up happens. Like, I don't think the dude misses ever, and it's unbelievable how he doesn't miss.
You know why it's impressive, guys? It's impressive because it's not like AEW's got a bunch of house shows where you can practice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they said the same thing about Flair and Steamboat. Like, boy, you guys, it's so smooth, it's not believable. It's way too smooth. That's only because they're on the road 300 times a year to practice the matches. I mean, we're talking about cold matches. You're coming in like, okay, it's me against you. All right, what are we going to do tonight? We'll call them the ring. Okay, good. See you out there. I mean, that's what it is. It's not like they've had the opportunity to work on these matches. It's like, here's what I do, here's what we do, and we're going to mesh. Now, this all depends on great, you know, dance partners. That matters too. But it's Danielson against Ospreay. It's just amazing the way that match materialized, because we knew it was going to be the best, and it was. We're the best wrestle. That's why AEW is called We're the Best Wrestle. There they are, right there. Two of the best.
Legitimate two wrestling, pro wrestling geniuses.
Yeah.
That's all that was. Like, legitimately just two geniuses putting their craft to work in front of a hot crowd. And yeah, take my money every time, every single time. Unbelievable what they were able to do.
We talked Thursday, like, whether it was going to be the main event or where they're going to put it. It obviously didn't matter where they put it. And the fact that they had two matches after it, like, shout out to the crowd for still getting up for that ladder match and then ultimately the main event. But every single time those guys out there, they deliver. Like, this run Danielson's on, this, I don't know, like, we can't call it a retirement tour, but a final full-time transition to part-time tour, whatever you want to call it. Like, Danielson deserves credit also. Like, just unbelievable. Like, I don't think there are enough words to say how incredible tonight's match was.
And I think they put it in the right spot. If you weren't going to lead off with it, and look, I was not of the thinking it was going to be the main event because of how they treat the world championship in AEW. Like, they put it in the right spot because, as much as we talk about, we knew that was going to deliver. Like, I also knew that FTR versus the Young Bucks. Like, we've seen that matchup. Like, the Young Bucks and Lucha Brothers. Like, there are certain tag teams that we know. Okay, you put them in the ring, they're going to figure it out, and it's going to be a good match, and it delivers. And of course, then the hype for the main event. Like, to me, they ended up putting in the right spot because the next two matches, you also had a really good feeling we're going to be able to live up to the hype. Now, not to the hype that Ospreay Danielson was, but they ended up putting it in the right spot because the other two matches that followed it, while not as good, were still really damn good wrestling.
I really enjoyed that. You mentioned the ladder match with the Young Bucks against FTR. Okay, so I'm no prude, as you well know. I mean, I'll watch, and we critique. That's what we do on GKW. Can I just tell you something, guys? It's a little too much to the point where I was very concerned that someone was going to seriously get hurt. Like, I understand that they busted their ass and had to do what they could coming off of Ospreay Danielson. They had to do some stuff that was totally out of the norm, try to get the crowd back into it. There was no let me up match. It was no, you know, match that was 2 or 3 minutes. There was a let me up and then come back to something big. No, they went right in from Ospreay Danielson to the tag team championship match with ladder. I was very concerned about FTR, particularly in that match. They took a beating. Yeah. They took a big beating. You're talking about going through ladders and going through tables the way they did. Guys, it got bloody and it got dangerous after a while. And I was saying, please don't get hurt. And even the audience, even they were concerned.
I never heard that chant before. Yes, like that was a new one. But to your point, like that Cash dive through the table, like he was going hard there. That ladder pile driver, a little concerned there. They did feel like they were overcompensating because of the match before them. And that's why I said on Thursday, like this should have been the main event because nothing could have followed them. But they went out there, they did their thing. I feel like those four can work that match with their eyes closed. Now we still have the potential for another one because of the Jack Perry interference. They got the reaction from Jack Perry. That's why they released the tapes, was for that moment. So at least they had a successful, you know, run in terms of that.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Perry got a great reaction in St. Louis, right? It's going to be interesting to see how he is received everywhere else they go. Sure. And that's going to ultimately determine whether or not releasing the tapes was worth it. If they can turn Jack Perry into a star, then it becomes worth it. Right. And I think that's something that you had said, Jay Hood, when we discussed the initial releasing. Okay, this is setting up. We see this coming. We, you know, again, not all the different things that they did in the match tonight, but we kind of, you kind of saw the end of the match coming. Okay, Perry's going to come in. He's going to cost FTR and he's going to help the Young Bucks. He's going to be brought into the fold. So if you can do something now with Jack Perry off of that, okay, then you could talk me into that being a worthwhile endeavor of getting the pop for the rating. Despite, you know, everybody making their, well, WWE superstar CM Punk making his return to AEW Dynamite, then it becomes worth it. If you can turn it into something and for once actually turn some of the real life drama they've had in AEW into something that makes you money.
Yeah, it was such an interesting time for the security to grab Perry, take the mask off and just hold him for a second for the camera. See, it's Jack Perry. All right, now we're going to take him away. Wait a minute.
Hood, he was trespassing.
Yes.
He was trespassing.
I frowned upon.
Okay, you trespass. You get the guy and take him out. You don't hold him. Take the mask off and say, see, it's Jack Perry. Everybody, say, all right, now take him away. If it's a fan, you take him out right away. Let me do that. Let me get in the ring. Is it going to show me in the hard cam?
You got to wear a mask. That's why.
It's Jonathan Hood. Yeah, if you wear a mask.
Exactly. See?
You got to put on the Sting mask, and then they pull it off, and then they unveil. That was the big reason there. That's why they did that.
And then they hold you for 10 seconds. So I just, you know, but to your point, Gabe, let's see where they go with this now. I knew he was coming. We all three of us knew he was coming. Based on what we saw at the Wintrust Arena in Chicago, we knew he was coming. So now what's next for this? Is he going to be an AEW wrestler that's going to be on the regular basis? I think that he's going to be aligning himself with the Elite. And then we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And speaking of the Elite and talking about how hard it was to follow that match, like, Okada and Pac was on this show. Like, that was the opening match of this night. And that was a damn good match. And
that happened yesterday, right?
About. Yeah, I think that was tonight. It was after 0 hour.
30 minutes. Almost 30 minutes for that matchup. I mean, it was a banger. I got no complaints because it's Pac and Okada, but it's just like, you know, that's a main event like in the Tokyo Dome, those two. And it was the first match on this card. Shows you how special it was and how great those two guys are in the ring.
I was a little concerned for the timing of the show after the we got through the first two matches and we were only an hour in. Like, how long are they expecting the people to hang out there in St. Louis tonight? But eventually the pacing picked up. But that match was a lot of fun. Again, you kind of forgot it was on the card, but it was spectacular. And of course it was going to be good, just like kind of everything else ended up playing out. I'll tell you the one that ended up sneakily, again, before Danielson and Ospreay tore down the house, the women's title match was really good.
Yep.
It was really good.
Yes. They had their working shoes on. And by the way, the build for the promos were fantastic. Thunder Rosa had a promo of her life, and Toni Storm had that promo where it was in color, and she just
cut Thunder. Her promo last night.
Mm-hmm. Just cut the pieces on Collision for like 2 minutes. It was a fantastic promo that went viral, but both had great promos, great build into what was a very good match. It's better than I thought it was going to be, and they had time.
Well, and it's one of those things, just a reminder, and there have been kind of hints throughout, but again, on television, and you don't ever get as much time, especially in the women's division at AEW, to necessarily shine. But Thunder Rosa can go, man. Like, she's had drama around her in AEW at different times, but I have always been a fan because every time she's been put in a position to succeed in a pay-per-view, she's come through. She's delivered in the ring. And Toni Storm, oh, by the way, despite her being this goofy character, also delivers in the ring. So they both were spectacular. The ending had me scratching my head a little bit, but, you know, I guess we can do low blows in women's matches too. I guess it's a thing that we can do. So
is it legal? Like, it was behind the ref's back, but would that have been okay?
What are you saying?
I'm saying... I'm saying a kick between the legs of a female is different than a kick between the legs of a male. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, is yeah. it really?
Yeah. That's what I'm getting after.
Did you ask? Did you source that out in your own home? Ask?
I mean, if you want, I mean, I can. I can go. She's sleeping. I can go ask her.
Just take her real quick.
Just from my, again, I'm not a doctor, but from my general understanding of how that all works.
I will say, by the way,
I don't think that's right. Actually, I don't think that's correct. I don't think that's correct. Because for someone that's been in Milwaukee, you haven't seen some females fight before? See them kind of go down low? I've seen it. Absolutely. I mean, they don't have the same bait and tackle that we have as men. But I'm just guessing there's some pain there if you punch in that area.
Do I think it's a little more sensitive than most areas? Yes. Do I think it's as sensitive as our bait and tackle, as you so eloquently put it? Don't know if it's quite that sensitive.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I like for you to go into the next room and ask.
But how do you compare these things?
Does it hurt? That's the only question. Is there pain?
Okay, I'll tell you what. I know this, all right? This is what I know.
Bro, it's you going
when you're when you're playing third base in softball, I don't think they have a cup. But I know when they're playing third base in baseball, they got a cup.
All right. That's science right there. That's what I'm hearing.
The idea that that can't be a woman can't be hurt. Never mind.
So, a little bit of a pivot. You talk about the timing, Gabe. Not surprising with AEW and the way they book women's wrestling. The two shortest matches of the night, the two women's matches. And I see Julia's hurt, so maybe that's why the TBS one was, but give them time to go. Come on.
Yeah, the TBS championship match kind of got them back on track, I guess, in terms of the timing of the paper, because it just, they kind of jammed through it quickly. And then, you know, of course, again, Willow winning makes sense because then you're able to, you know, bring out the CEO and Mercedes Moné, and they can, again, not that Mercedes was purposefully injured by Willow, but you're able to take something that happened in real life and turn it into a storyline. So it makes sense that Mercedes' first match in AEW would be against Willow, and it would be a championship match.
So I am curious to see how that match is handled. Like, they're already starting to pub it now. It's a month out. Like, there are some tweets saying that could main event in Vegas, and the way AEW books the women's wrestling, I don't know if that's ever possible. But I'm curious to see how much time those two get leading up to this.
There's been way too much bitching online about Mercedes Moné not being in the ring. I don't know if she's 100% yet.
I don't think she's healthy.
But even if she is, all right, cool. If she is healthy, they're just trying to wait until you get something special like this matchup she's going to get have in May, on May 26th. I'm fine with it. She's out there. She doesn't have to wrestle for me. We already know she can go. They're trying to keep her special. As long as it pays off in May, I'm totally fine with it. She doesn't need any contenders matches. It is odd that she's the number one contender already. Sure, but I mean, we know that she can go.
They're doing the opposite of what you said with Punk. Like you said, keep Punk special. We saw Punk every single week wrestling, and ultimately he broke down because of it. They're not doing that with her. Yeah. I will say, I really hope Willow wins next month, because I would hate to see the legs cut out from her.
Could you imagine all that buildup for CEO when she loses their first? That'd be something, man.
There's a way you can do it where Willow doesn't have her legs cut out, man.
All right.
if you put on a good enough match, like did, I mean, Samoa Joe didn't have his legs cut out from him tonight, did he?
No. I've seen it too much with AEW. Like, I feel like we're not going to see Joe for a month now. And then the next time we see him, it'll be on Rampage. You know, it'll be him and Matt Sydal randomly.
Well, he certainly had the talent.
I thought him and Dustin Rhodes, but yeah, Matt said I watched him.
He certainly had the talent picture now. Like, I would extend this out to May for a rematch for the blow off, but it's Swerve's house now. He's the champion. I'd like to see who's next. I mean, like if it's going to be Ospreay, awesome. But if it's not, it's almost a letdown at this point, especially if Samoa Joe didn't get a rematch out of this at all. He probably won't.
Really? No. They do round three? It's 1-1.
On Dynamite? Won't be on a pay-per-view.
Battle of the Belts 11.
There you go.
Probably. Speaking of matches that got time, somehow the International Championship with Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, quite frankly, one of the best matches on the card. Did not expect that because they had time. A story was told. Roderick Strong, boy, I tell you what, this guy could have gotten over in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, utilizing the backbreaker as much as possible. I mean, who besides he and Dean Malenko, I've never seen someone the backbreaker like that. That's amazing. Like, wow. I mean, a better match than I thought it was going to be, but Roderick Strong came out on top.
I mean, the big thing I feel like from that match, are we close to an Adam Cole return? I know reports literally this week said no, but he was walking. He got up.
I am. It's good that he's walking. My guess is based on the reporting and as bad as the injury seemed. Okay, it's great that he's walking. Probably still a ways away from being able to use that and do the things he needs to do as a professional wrestler.
I don't know. My first thought was somehow he tipped off someone to like, you know, hey, look this way. I'm good to go.
Kind of like Matt Hardy did.
Yes. Just like that.
Just like that. Yeah. Matt Hardy today. It seemed like it was, like a day ago, but yes. I talked to Matt Hardy, interviewed him this morning, and he swerved everybody. It's good that he's walking, not necessarily in a run, but he walked. He went up the stairs. He got into the ring, so that's good. But you're right, Gabe. It's going to take a while, but it's good to see him out of the wheelchair. I think that the travel that he was doing held him back, actually, because they wanted him to stay away and rehab. He kept coming to the arenas. And they're like, okay, you're setting back your rehab by coming and doing this gimmick. You need to stay away for a while. It looks like he looks okay. That's good.
And maybe we already know what his first match back is going to be, given the way he was staring at Wardlow before he went to celebrate with Roddy Strong.
But I feel like you need that payoff sooner rather than later. Like, if he's not going to be ready for 6 months, you're like, oh, yeah, he did look at him that one time in a pay-per-view.
We retweet.
There's a lot of seed planting.
We retweeted it in English at GKW Wrestling about the Wardlow injury. Looks like he got into a car accident.
Yeah.
Has been wrestling lately, but he's still standing.
Hey, speaking of car accidents, Chris Jericho won tonight.
Oh, God. Dear Lord.
New FCW champion.
I was hoping we'd just, like, skip this. I was having such a good time. I was having such a fun time talking about AEW tonight.
Big title change. Big pop for Taz standing up. Shout out to Taz.
Well, because they thought he was going to save his – like, the pop for Taz – was spectacular.
Yes.
To the point where, like, Jericho's like, wait, what's going on? And then he's looking around, and I'm thinking, like, Taz has to be coming into the ring because that's how crazy the crowd is going. Like, and all Taz is doing is standing by the announce desk. That's all he's doing. And everybody thought that Taz was going to go and get Jericho for pushing him into the ropes this past Wednesday on Dynamite. Alas, it was all for naught, and unfortunately, this Chris Jericho versus Hook saga is going to continue.
All that time with him being the manager of Team Taz, he never went to the ring. And now he's at ringside for his son. That's the only time he's ever been at ringside for any time in AEW. That whole Team Taz thing was always in the broadcast booth, never came down. Now he comes down and still does nothing. Thank you, Taz, for nothing. So this puts a lot of heat on Chris Jericho. Clearly, the people in St. Louis want him to retire or for him to go away, which is amazing, by the way. People have had enough of Chris Jericho. And he wins this meaningless FTW championship, which is great. So now Hook either will go back with Jericho or move on to take on Roderick Strong or something like that. Like that.
I hope he moves on, man. Yeah. Like, I honestly, we are in dangerous X-Pac go away heat for Chris Jericho. Like, we're trending in a bad direction if this feud continues for Hook. Right now, it's still okay. Right now, they still may be able to save it. Do I trust AEW to handle this delicately in the way that they need to in order to save it? I do not. I am a little concerned about the direction of Chris Jericho and Hook getting dragged down with it.
I feel like we all need a break from Jericho. Like, we've talked about the reinvention and how great he is, but like, let's just go our separate ways right now. We'll talk about things and meet in a few more months, but like, there was no need for this match on this card over 16 minutes. Like, they had more time than Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa. Like, you could have used that time elsewhere. Like, it didn't need to be that long. It wasn't even a good match. Like, it was unnecessary. And it feels like it's not over yet, which is the worst part of it all.
That match belonged on the card. Maybe the 0 hour, but it belonged on the card.
Sure.
Yeah. I had no problem. This adds more heat to Jericho, which is great. I have no problem with this. Nope, I have no problem with this because
you don't think that they're in a potential Jeff Jarrett go away territory.
Yeah. Hopefully, we need some of that every now and then. I got no problem with that. But here's the thing: I don't like him taking up a lot of TV time because we see this.
But that's the problem,
right?
He's going to take up TV time. He's going to take up a lot of TV time because he's Chris freaking Jericho.
Yeah,
and they're going to give it to him. Tony's going to give it to him.
I mean, they got enough people that are paid and staying at home. They can't afford for him to stay at home. You know how much money that guy's making?
Hey, I mean, we need a Fozzy tour. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And then St. Louis hated Fozzy too. They said Fozzy sucks.
Yeah, they did.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they thought of everything to insult Jericho.
Nobody gets that kind of heat. Very few get that heat. Don Callis is on that list. Now Jericho's on that list. What was the graphic, the learning tree, Chris Jericho? So that's another nickname for Jericho, the learning tree. It's more like Dollar Tree.
it's not good.
Again, it's dangerously close. And part of the reinvention with Jericho is from time to time in WWE, he did go away. Like, he disappeared. Yeah. He went on, you know, his Fozzy tour. I think one of the times he came back and like didn't speak for a month, you know, and that was part of the gimmick because he was just overwhelmed. And it's like, you have to go away at some point for us to miss you. He hasn't been able to do anything that's really captured the audience's imagination since the breakup of the Jericho Appreciation Society. And like, okay, just go away for a little bit. Let us miss you. And guess what? We probably will. If Jericho goes away until Wembley and then comes out to make a save for somebody and you hear Fozzy blasting through the speakers at Wembley or in Chicago at All Out, like, if you take the next 5 months off, like, people are going to miss you. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the case. And this is trending in a not great direction. I think this is beyond, like, people booing Callis out of the building when he's cutting his promo last night, or when they boo Dirty Dom anytime he tries to talk in WWE. Like, this feels more than that to me.
Completely agree. He'll be a great surprise in the Rumble, and he can take Drew McIntyre's storylines when Drew signs with AEW. It'll be a perfect trade-off. We'll be good to go.
I don't think that's a perfect
trade-off. I'm back
entire. I don't think so. No.
Hunter will take him back. He'll be great in the WWE. One last run before the Hall of Fame.
I would agree with you that Jericho is closer to being AEW Rampage color analyst than someone I want to see in the ring. I get that. But they got a veteran now that people don't like. And so he's going to be sticking around for a while. I guarantee that. That's what's going to happen. My hope is, out of all of this, is that it elevates Hook even more so. Hook has got this FTW championship, and it seems like a albatross around his neck because it doesn't mean anything. It's not even, well, go to AEW.com. It's not even on the listing of champions, you know. It's not
right,
even,
which is fine, but like, no one that's like been in this Jericho moment has gotten better because of it. Like, Sammy, he has his own issues, but he is where he is. Like, Action Andretti, like, how'd that win do for him? Like, it just doesn't work out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that even goes back to his time in WWE. Sure. Like, he's the only person, I mean, I wouldn't even say he got Kevin Owens over because KO was already over. Like, KO was a former world champion by the time that they had paired together, as good as their run was and as spectacular as the Festival of Friendship was. Like, it's not like, I mean, that was just great storytelling with two really good professional wrestlers. It's not like KO is this young up-and-comer that, you know, he got to put over. No, that's just not the way that worked. I don't know if I can think of one person that Jericho has legitimately put over that it has vaulted them into bigger and better things.
And Max Caster needs a talking to, because that was not good. That's uncomfortable. That wasn't right. He needs to be talked to. Someone needs to produce these wrestlers. Just somebody. Somebody in that company needs to be able to produce these people. Like, I'm not asking for Vince McMahon third degree, but I'm asking for someone to just produce them. Like, that rap was, first, not for me. I'm just saying that some might have been offended by it, and just, it wasn't very good either.
No. And he's been in trouble for these type of jokes before. Like, it makes no sense.
I don't get it.
Well, and then to do it, in on the free portion of the program.
that's where he belongs. Ha. He's always, to me, he's always been a dick and always been a heel. Yeah. Always has been. I know the fans love him, but I'm just like, that guy has heel tendencies, which is fine. But he hasn't gone into that yet, and he probably should, because that's who he is. I think naturally he's just a bad guy. Bad guy.
That's who he was. That's who they were for the longest time, I think, at the beginning of their AEW careers. And people kind of clung on to them, loved the Anthony Bowens portion of it. They were heels, and then they connected with the Guns and then won over Billy. And, you know, I think people love Billy. People love Anthony. And that's been enough to keep them over with the fans.
Yes. That's why Anthony Bowens spent time with us on Good Karma Wrestling. Asked about Max Caster, we passed. We said nothing. But you know what, Gabe, Ryan, here's the one thing about AEW. Besides all the stuff that's going to come out of this press conference tonight with Tony Khan and all the stuff behind the scenes and all the stuff about ratings and attendance, every time we look around, it delivers. Oh. Every time you look around. I mean, one thing about Tony Khan, he will stack a card. He did something that I haven't seen in a long, long time. Not only did tonight deliver, but last night delivered too. When's the last time I had a go-home show with staff in Peoria? How do you have Bryan Danielson in a bunkhouse match the night before he's in a classic with Will Ospreay? So one thing about
probably best to just not have him in that. Like, we don't need to do that.
Listen, I mean, traditionally you wouldn't, but you know it's Danielson saying, yeah, I'll do it.
But he also did the same thing on Wednesday. And we talked about it on the show on Thursday with Ospreay and Claudio.
Like, someone should have said, no, Brian, like, thank you. Yes, we appreciate the offer, but no, like, we want to protect Sunday. That's what we're protecting.
Like, no,
just go home.
I'm going to kick his effing head in. He's just yelling at people. And so, but you know what, guys? It delivers.
Yes.
What? We knew the card was stacked. Everyone said the card was stacked. All the way from top to bottom, and it was, a great payoff because we got a new heavyweight champion, we got a new women's champion, TBS
tag team champs.
Yeah,
I mean, St. Louis got a banger, and rightfully so.
It was a spectacular show. We'll see how they followed up Wednesday on Dynamite. We'll see how WWE follows everything up. A little bit of a different schedule this week. We are going to be busy with some draft night coverage on Thursday. So we're going to do our own little draft. So pay attention. That's going to be coming out later this week as we do our own professional wrestling draft in honor of the NFL draft. We had a lot of fun. Hopefully you did too. Thanks for staying up late with us as we reacted to AEW Dynasty here tonight on GK.